Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Erevin Daf Tes Zayin. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. On Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, a machlokas was introduced regarding parts ka'omed, if the gaps in a partition equal the walled portion. Or Papa says it's mutter to carry in an area caused by such partitions, whereas Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua says it's forbidden. As part of the Gemara's analysis to determine who the halacha goes according to, in our Daf, a braisa from Kalim is brought. It presents shalosh midos b'mechitzos, three categories of partitions that permit planting something next to another planting, which would be kalim when planted next to each other without a partition. Category number one, whenever the solid sections are less than three tefachim, it's necessary that the gap in between the sections should not be three tefachim wide, kedei shel yistakir hagedi b'basrosh, so that a kid goat cannot leap headlong through the partition, which would cancel lavud from working. The gap, though, can be wider than the solid portions. Category number two, when the solid portions are between three and four tefachim, the gaps cannot be as wide as the sections themselves. And if the gaps are even wider than the solid portions, then it's prohibited to plant even opposite the walled portions. And category number three, when the solid portions are in between four tefachim and 10 amos, the gap cannot be as wide as the solid portions. If it is, then it's permitted to plant opposite the solid portions, but prohibited to plant opposite the gaps. Rashi explains that a walled section that is four tefachim wide is considered to be independently significant. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that a caravan may surround its encampment with three horizontal ropes, one above the other, provided that there's not a gap between ropes with three tefachim, for the purposes of lavud to take effect, and that the total thickness of the ropes is more than one tefach, so that the height of the mechitza is at least 10 tefachim. It's also permitted to surround the caravan with vertical poles, provided the gaps between the poles do not exceed three tefachim, in order for lavud to take effect. And point number three, the Gemara notes a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, who said that the inferior partitions of ropes and poles are only permitted for caravans, but not for individuals, and a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol mechitza Shabbos lo yitiru lo yachid yosir mibeis asayim. The Chachamim did not permit these inferior Shabbos partitions for individuals in an area that encloses more than two beisa. This implies that these partitions are permitted to individuals if it is two beisa. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was forbidding these partitions for individuals only if the enclosed area was greater than two beisa. So once again, the three points are number one. On Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, Machlokas was introduced regarding Parutz Ka'omed, if the gaps in a partition equal the walled portions. Rav Papa says it's mutter to carry in an area enclosed by such partitions, whereas Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua says it's forbidden. As part of the Gemara's analysis to determine who the halakha goes according to, in our Daf, a braisa from Kalim is brought that presents Shalosh Midos B'Mechitzos, three categories of partitions that permit planting something next to another planting, which would be kalim when planted next to each other without a partition. So category number one, whenever the solid sections are less than three tefachim, it's necessary that the gap in between the sections should not be three tefachim wide, kedei shel yistakir hagedi b'basrosh, so that a kid goat cannot leap headlong through the partition, which would cancel lavud from working. The gap, though, can be wider than the solid portions. Category number two, when the solid portions are between three and four tefachim, the gaps cannot be as wide as the sections themselves. And if the gaps are even wider than the solid portions, then it is prohibited to plant even opposite the walled portions. And category number three, when the solid portions are between four tefachim and 10 amos, the gap cannot be as wide as the solid portions. If it is, then it's permitted to plant opposite the solid portions, but prohibited to plant opposite the gaps. Rashi explains that a walled section that is four tefachim wide is considered to be independently significant. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that a caravan may surround its encampment with three horizontal ropes, one above the other, provided that there's not a gap between ropes of three tefachim for the purpose of lavud to take effect, and that the total thickness of the ropes is more than one tefach, so that the height of the mechitza is at least 10 tefachim. It's also permitted to surround the caravan with vertical poles, provided that the gaps between the poles do not exceed three tefachim in order for lavud to take effect. And point number three, the Gemara notes a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, who said that the inferior partitions of ropes and poles are only permitted for caravans, but not for individuals, and a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol mechitza Shabbos lo yitiru lo yachid yosir mibeis asayim. The Chachamim did not permit these inferior Shabbos partitions for individuals in an area that encloses more than two beisa. This implies that these partitions are permitted to individuals if it is two beisa. So the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah was forbidding these partitions for individuals only if the enclosed area was greater than two beisah. Right, so now we go to a simon for tezayin, and the simon is toes. So here goes. The lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzos with his toes, decided to use ropes and poles instead to enclose his encampment that was not greater than two beisah. Once again, in slow motion. The lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzos with his toes, that must mean we're on daf tezayin. The lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzos with his toes, which reminds us of the machlokas regarding parts ka'omet, if the gaps in a partition equal the walled portion. Rav Papa says it's mutter to carry in an area closed by such partitions, whereas Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says it's forbidden. And on the Braisa from Kohain, the mentions shalosh midos b'mechitzos, three categories of partitions. So the lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzos with his toes, decided to use ropes and poles instead, which reminds that the caravan can use horizontal ropes or vertical poles to enclose the encampment, provided the space between them is less than three tefachim, in order for lavu to take effect, and the ropes have a combined width of more than a tefach, so that the mechitzah is at least 10 tefachim high. So the lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzos with his toes, decided to use ropes and poles instead, to enclose his encampment that was not greater than two beisah. Which reminds of the seeming contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda, whether an individual can use the inferior partitions of ropes and poles, and the conclusion that an individual may use them as long as the enclosed area is not greater than two beisah. So once again, the lone camper, after measuring three different sized mechitzos with his toes, decided to use ropes and poles instead, to enclose his encampment that was not greater than two beisah. All right, now it's time for a four blah bat chazorah. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simfer Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, that must be more on Duff Yud Beis. The 12 brothers busy banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzar, which reminds us, an entrance of a chatzar that opens into an area that items from the chatzar cannot be carried into, such as another chatzar that didn't make an Arab chatzaras with, or a rishus rabim, and needs some type of adjustment in order to permit carrying within the chatzar. There's a machlokas and a brisa regarding what is required. The Tanakhama holds, chatzar niteres b'pasa achad, a chatzar is permitted by placing one board at the side of the entrance to serve as a side post. Revi holds b'shnei pasim by placing two boards. There's machlokas regarding the width of each board. Rabbi Yossi holds that each board has to be at least three tefachim wide. Rabbi Yochanan, explained by Rabbi Zerah, holds that one is the option of using one post that is four tefachim wide or two posts of any size on each side. So the 12 brothers banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzar didn't notice water from the ocean flowing through a breach in their wall, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa, l'shen yam ha'niknas l'chatzar, if part of the sea flowed through an opening of a chatzar wall, if the breach is more than 10 amos, one may not take from the water in the chatzar because it's considered part of the ocean and it would be taken from a carmelis to a rishus yachid. If the breach was 10 amos or less, he can take from the water in the chatzar because the opening in the wall is considered a pesach and not a breach, and therefore the water within the chatzar is considered to be within a rishus yachid. The Gemara infers that even if the breach is larger than 10 amos, yesli gedude, if the breach part of the wall is not breached under the water and is 10 tefachim high, the chatz retains its status of rishus yachid and they may carry within it, although drawing water from it would still be forbidden. So the 12 brothers banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzar didn't notice water from the ocean flowing through a breach in the wall and flooding a mavui mafulash with a lechi serving as a mechitza. Which reminds Rabbi Yehuda said that a mavi which is not fit for shituf, meaning a mavi mufulash, which one adjusted with a lechi, the one who throws an object into it is chai for transferring from rishus rabim into rishus yachid. If one adjusted with a korah, however, the one who throws an object into it is putter. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lechi serves as a mechitza, and the korah serves as a heker. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds three mechitzas are deraisa, therefore placement of a lechi, which he holds as a mechitza, makes it a rishus yachid. Rabbi held the same position. Rabbi said, echot zev, mishum heker. Both of these, the lechi and the korah, serve as a heker. Therefore, one who threw into the mavui would not be chayiv. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simfer Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy who was laning the parsha of Sota beautifully until he noticed some letters were erased, which reminds us, there's a machlokas and a braisa regarding putting kankatom into ink, which makes it impossible to completely erase the ink, in order to write the Parsha Sota in a Sefer Torah. Rav Yehuda said that Rav Meir used to say that one may put kankatom into ink for writing a Sefer Torah, except for the Parsha Sota. Rav Yaakov said in Rav Meir's name that it may be used to write the Parsha Sota as well, but not for writing the Parsha Sota that was used in the Beis HaMikdash for the Sota waters. Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the practical difference between them is whether it's valid to erase the psukim from a regular Sefer Torah in the bitter waters of the Sota. In order for the psukim to be valid to be used for the bitter waters that a Sota must drink, it must be words that are able to be erased. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds that psukim from regular Sefer Torah are valid to be used, to be put inside the Sota waters, one cannot put concantum into the ink. According to Rabbi Yaakov, however, they are not valid, and therefore the psukim of a regular Sefer Torah may be written with ink that has concantum in it. Only the parts of the Sota that was used within the base of Migdash may be used. Therefore, it's only these psukim that may not be written with concantum. So the Bar Mitzvah boy who was learning the Parsha of Sota beautifully, until he noticed some letters were erased, was blessed by the Rav who said Meir should be Zocha to have great teachers. Which reminds Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara explains that he was originally a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but he wasn't able to discern his final psak, given Rabbi Akiva's ability to defend both sides of a position. He went to learn by Rabbi Shmuel, but Gamar Gamori, to learn the various traditions, and then he went to Rabbi Akiva, Vesavra Savora. He studied them with great analysis. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chanina said that there was none in the generation like Rabbi Meir, but they didn't fix the halach leichem because his chaverim could not fathom the depths of his reasoning, for he could assert effectively that something tameh was tahor, and vice versa. Rebbe said that the reason that he was sharper than his chaverim is that he saw Rabbi Meir from behind, and if he had seen the front of him, he would be even sharper. So the Bar Mitzvah boy who was laying the Parsha Sota beautifully, until he noticed some letters were erased, was blessed by the Rav who said Meir should be zocheh to have great teachers, and always exemplify the midos of Beis Hillel. Which reminds the Gemara asks why Beis Hillel merit to have the halacha fixed according to their view, and answers, because they were agreeable and forbearing, showing restraint when they were challenged, and they would study their opinion and the opinion of Beis Shammai. And Rashi explains they would make great effort to show how the psukim that Beis Shammai brought as proofs could be understood differently. And not only that, but they would even quote the words of Beis Shammai before their own. Daf Yadal. So the symbol for Daf Yadal is hands, and we're going to use a juggler because he has very skilled hands. So here goes. The juggler. Juggler, that must be more on Daf Yadalad. The juggler is doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs, which reminds us. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis stated that a korah must be wide enough to hold an ariach, a half brick. An ariach is 1.5 tefachim, which means that it's sufficient for the korah to be 1 tefach in width. In a brice on this daf, it was taught, if one placed two twin korahs over an entrance, and each one alone was not wide enough to hold the ariach, but together they could, since combined they're a tefach wide, no other korah is necessary. If their combined width was not a tefach, they're invalid and another korah must be used. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if two korahs can be positioned to hold an ariach lengthwise so that the distance between their outer edges measures 3 tefachim, it's not necessary to bring another korah, even though their combined width does not equal a tefach. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water, which reminds that the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel and Beis also stated that if the korah was round and therefore incapable of holding an ariach, we view it as if it was square, meaning as if it was planed down to a flat surface. The way to know if the circular korah is a tefach wide is by following the rule that kol sheyesh be'akefo shlosha tefachim yesh bo roch of tefach. Whatever round object has a circumference of 3 tefachim has a width of a tefach. The Gemara teaches that the source for this principle is learned from the Yamshel Shlomo, which Shlomo Melch made in the base of Migdash of the Kohanim to use for a tevila. It was 10 amos in diameter and 30 amos in circumference. Rabbi Chiya taught that it could hold enough water for 150 mikvos. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water next to the lechi in the middle of the mavui. Which reminds us, a braisa taught, Asa lechi lechetzi mavui, ein lo el lechetzi mavui. If one made a lechi for half a mavui, so the lechi stands in the middle of the side wall instead of the front, he can only carry the mavui half that was adjusted. After questioning why the braisa needed to teach the seemingly obvious point, the Gemara answered that one might have thought that it should be prohibited to carry even in the adjusted half, out of concern that someone will think that it's permitted to carry in the entire mavui. Daf Tezvav. So the symbol for Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The strange scene of a fruit bowl, that must be more on Daf Tezvav. The strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, which reminds us that there's a Malkokas Amarim regarding lechi omed me'ilav, a lechi that happens to be positioned properly at the side of a mavui, but was not originally placed there to adjust the mavui such as a tree. Abai said it's valid, and Rava says it's not. The Gemara clarifies that everybody agrees that it's not a valid lechi when they didn't intend to use it as a lechi Erev Shabbos, as they were planning on using another lechi that subsequently fell. The Machlokas is in the case where they intended Erev Shabbos to use it as a lechi. After determining through a number of proofs that Abai and Rav agree that a mechitza that was not originally erected as a mechitza is valid, the Gemara concludes that Abai says the lechi is valid because he holds a lechi serves as a mechitza. And Rava says it's invalid because he holds a lechi serves as a heker, and it will only serve as a reminder if it was originally erected as a lechi. So the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, which reminds us the next Mishnah introduces a number of machokasim regarding using living things for lechis, tomb covers, and gittin. Regarding gittin, the Tanna Kamma holds, Kosin alav gittin nashim, one may write a get on living things, Rav Yossi Agali poso, and Rav Yossi Aglili invalidate such a get. Now the Gemara explains that both the Tanna Kamma and Rav Yossi Aglili derive the halacha from the same pasuk, v'kasav la sefer krisos, and he shall write for her a bill of divorce. Rav Yossi Aglili learns from v'kasav la that one may write it on any type of writing surface, not just parchment, whereas sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a sefer, not food or living things. The Rabbanan learned that v'kasav la means she cannot be divorced with money, and sefer teaches l'sfiras dvarim ba'amuhudasa that it should be a narration of words that convey that he's divorcing her. So the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, caught the attention of a caravan passing by on their way to their encampment. Which reminds, the next mission teaches that if a shayar shachansa babika, a caravan encamped in an area of open fields, which is considered a karmelis, that surrounded itself with animal trappings, such as saddles and saddlebags to serve as partitions, one may carry within it, provided that she had gadar gavoa asar tfachim, the partition must be 10 tfachim high. The total gap should not be more than the total walls, and kol pirtzus shikaser amos mutaris mifnei shika pesach. An opening of 10 amos is considered a doorway, and they can carry there. More than 10 amos is considered a pirtza, a breach, and carrying would be forbidden. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which stuff do you learn the rule for finding the diameter of a round object comes from the Yom Shel Shlomo? That's on Daf Yedalad. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn why the halacha goes according to Beis Hillel? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn the Reb Yudah holds an individual can use ropes or poles to enclose an area no greater than 2 Beis Sa? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a Malchokas whether one can write a get on a living thing? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn that there are shosh midos b'mechitzos, 3 categories of mechitzos? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you learn that caravans can use horizontal ropes or vertical poles to create mechitzos? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you have b'mechitzos regarding alechia omed me'ilav, such as a tree, and whether it can be used as alechi? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you learn that a mavui entrance that is wider than 10 amos is considered a greater breach than parutz maruba al omed, such as in the case of a chutz with many windows and entrances? That's on Daf Yidolf. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you learn if water from the ocean flowed from a breach in a wall that was wider than 10 amos, one cannot draw water from it since it has the din of a karmelis? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. And finally, question number 10. Which daf do we have a machlokas about twin cars with a combined width less than a tefach, whether they can be used as a cord to adjust a mavui? That's on Daf Yedal. Good. And now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn about Seitzel Kochavim? That's on Daf Lamed Hay and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn about Tamas Chus Avos? That's on Daf Nun Hay and Shabbos. And finally, question number 3. Which daf do you learn that one should not make a tefillah a burden, a masui? That's on Daf Chavtes and Brachos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.